Good morning and welcome to A Reader's Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 28th, 2026. We're on the 7 a.m. meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 15 in Bill's story. We are on the second paragraph, which starts, "We commence to make many fast friends." Reading that one paragraph, which ends, "We are growing in numbers and power," which ends on the top of page 16. Today's readers, reading the 12 steps, is Mary C., 12 traditions, Maura Z., reader of the text. On page 15 is Tony B., page 164 is Christina L. Our backup this morning is Heidi B. Reading announcements is Kathy S. Our newcomer greeter we're waiting to hear is Reva P. And our host is Ken W.H. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, January 27th, for this 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,160. That is 23160. And for our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,161, that is 23,161. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary C. to come on in and read the 12 steps. Come on in, Mary.
Thank you so much. My name is Mary C., a compulsive overeater. I live in Italy, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Mary. I'll now ask Maura Z. to come on in and read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Maura.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. Maura Z., gratefully recovered in Virginia, 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Maura. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will be able to time you this morning. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story. We're on page 15, the second paragraph, which starts, "We commenced to make many friends." The one paragraph ending, "We are growing in numbers and power," on the top of page 16. I'm now going to ask Tony B. to begin reading. Come on in, Tony.
Thank you, Kathy. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. We commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. I have seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere, have seen the most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. I have seen men come out of asylums and resume a vital place in the lives of their families and communities. Business and professional men have regained their standing. There is scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. In one western city and its environs, there are 1,000 of us and our families. We meet frequently so that newcomers may find the fellowship they seek. At these informal gatherings, one may often see from 50 to 200 persons. We are growing in numbers and power. In 2001, AA is composed of over 100,000 groups. So, yes, it's feels like the sort of vision for you part of Bill's story, this paragraph. A lot of Bill's story is step one. It's his experience as an alcoholic. And then his step two experience with Ebby and his willingness to go through with this process. And we're taken through all of the steps very quickly as he experienced them. And in the paragraph just before, we've got the one-to-one work with another alcoholic, which is so important, going to the hospital in despair, talking to a man there, being amazingly lifted up, set on his feet. So, you know, I have to do all of this on a daily basis, remembering that I am a real compulsive overeater. My step one has to be secure, and then all of the other steps I need to move into as well. And that one-to-one sponsorship work is really key to coming then to this place of joy, I find. So I went to the OA birthday party just like a week or so ago, and that joy of meeting with fellows who are also doing this daily work, you know, of their steps and of helping other compulsive overeaters and some newcomers too who aren't there yet, but this sense of kind of coming together after the hard work's done and having this joyfulness. And life's not always a bed of roses. You know, it says here, even under pressure and difficulty, there's this joy. And these fast friends begin to be there in a way that, you know, they used to be the fair weather ones. I certainly experienced that as Bill says earlier in his story. You know, having people that come in and out of my life, that's been my experience. But now I get the sense that I'm forming some fast friendships, which is wonderful. And yes, I love the families setting their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. It's once we put God first, then no matter sort of what the situation that's going on, and he's talking here a lot about situations being righted and feuds being wiped out and people resuming vital places in the lives of their families and communities, business, professional men regaining their standing. But I think that those things may not happen. And I think at another point that is said, you know, regardless of whether we get back on our feet or not financially.
That's fine, Tony.
With God, I'll just finish with this. With God at the center, we can have this joy of living. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Tony. Appreciate that. I'm ready to take some names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on either Monday or Tuesday this week in either meeting, we ask you to hold back. I'm ready to take some names. Who's ready to share with us? Please give me your name and your first initial.
Sally A.
Thank you, Sally.
Lisa Jo B.
Thank you, Lisa. If you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute yourself.
Julie G. in Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Julie.
Colleen M.
Good morning, Colleen. Thank you.
Nick F.
Excuse me?
Nick F.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you.
Elsie M. from Pennsylvania.
Good morning, Elsie. Okay, would anyone else like to join the first lineup or we can start? Anyone else? Press star 1. Okay, for our first lineup this morning, we have Sally A., Lisa J.B., Julie G., Colleen M., Nick F., and Elsie M. Come on in, Sally.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody all over the world. And this is Sally A. in America. Just kidding. In New York, recovered and rescued by my wonderful higher power. So just for continuity, yesterday we saw Bill talking about for a year and a half, that's a long time, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. And I believe that what he's talking about is his past mistakes. And I kind of think because of my own experience that he was beating himself up over the past. And coming down, we see this program is a design for living, a way of living, a plan of living, a manner of living. Every chapter, it gives us one of these statements because this is how we're going to live. This is not a diet. This is a new lifestyle. And coming down, he goes to a positive perspective of what he has seen happen. He's seen fast friends and the joy of living and situations righted. And I've seen men resume a vital place. And he goes on to talk about the fellowship that newcomers find and we find versus the isolation that I lived in. And all of this is like his own perspective on promises that he has seen with his own eyes. We've read this. I mean, I've been in program for 43 years, and I don't know how many times I've read the bottom of page 83 and the top of 84. We found a new freedom and happiness. We don't regret the past. Comprehending serenity, knowing peace, benefiting others, seeing how even the darkest past experiences can now provide hope and help to others struggling with addiction. I have to say all this because in these last few weeks, I have been experiencing the same experience that Bill has in his previous paragraph here, and also this paragraph. It's it takes time to heal. It took him a year and a half before he could even get a job. And in the meantime, he's here and he's working with others and getting his eyes off himself. And it's a dichotomy of growth. It's a progressive growth, just as it's a progressive recovery. And I think that he says a lot in this last page. And he speaks of the promises of the 12 steps that we read about so clearly on 83 and 84. And I've said a lot. Thanks for letting me share this morning, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. That's Sally A. from New York. Next up, we have Lisa J.B. from Colorado, followed by Julie G. If you just joined us, we are on page 15 in Bill's story. Second paragraph, reading to the top of page 16. Lisa, come on in and share with us, please.
Thank you so much. It's Lisa Joe in Denver. I love this paragraph. It just really speaks volumes about the fellowship aspect of the program. And I'm telling you what, when I've been in a low place, depressed, isolating, I don't want to pick up that phone. And when I do, and I don't have anything to say, I just ask someone about how is your recovery going? Or what have you learned today? Or, you know, just becoming interested in another human being is being of service. And being of service helps those who are being of service. And in turn, it helps you. And it's just people in this program have saved my life. And I'm newly out of some slipping and sliding and eating alcoholic foods and this, that, and the other. And when I pick up that million pound phone and make a call, when I'm wanting to act out, 98% of the time, if not more, I don't act out because I'm getting current with where I'm at. I'm being honest. Someone else is my witness, a human being and God. It's like fifth stepping where I'm at. And that's a lifesaver. And people in this program have literally saved my life. This disease is ruthless. It is persistent. It wants me dead. And I don't want to die. I have too much to live for. I have a life. And I want to live. So with that, I'm in. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. That was Lisa JP from Colorado. Next up, we have Julie G, followed by Colleen M. Come on in, Julie.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. I really love this part of Bill's story where we see the him go from doing the work quickly, feeling the power of his God working in him, and he immediately, along with his wife, turns his attention to helping others. And I think it's such a beautiful example of how the power of good, the power of God, this higher power that is working and available and present for all of us, can just direct our, can direct my, I know that my higher power can direct my thinking and my actions if I listen and stay open and aware. And so I too have experienced wonderful things as I feel a part of this fellowship and take the actions that allow me to connect with others, listen to others, be of service to others. I'm so grateful to be at a point in my recovery where I can sponsor and carry this message. And I really do believe that we are here, these meetings are for one another, but mostly for the newcomers, so that newcomers or people returning can find the fellowship that they seek. We need other people as much as I need God, and that is primary in my recovery and in my life. I need other people, and I do believe that it is through others, through their words, through learning how they interpret this literature, that I hear directly from the God of my understanding. And that's a powerful thing for me, but I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to hear those messages. I'm not going to hear those little bits of wisdom or those things that resonate with me if I don't show up and I'm not really being a part if I just listen and don't share my perspective too, because I never know when what I am sharing may be useful to someone else. And I want to stay in humility about that. I don't have anything great or profound to say, but I can share my experience, which was that when I came in here and I found a sponsor and I followed their directions, I did what I was asked, my God met me at my place of willingness and has brought me to a place now where, my obsession with food has been removed. And I know I only have that reprieve one day at a time as I do this work. So grateful. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Julie G. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Colleen M. from Maryland, followed by Nick F. Come on in, Colleen.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Kathy, for doing your service and everyone that's doing service today. I'm Colleen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater in Maryland. And I just, this paragraph to me is another sign of the hope of this program. And one of the promise, another promise, you know, we're going to have a joy of living, even under pressure and difficulty. And then the other thing that stood out to me is there's scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. And I can just, you know, shout the good tidings for myself that, you know, these things have come true for me in my life, you know, due to the fact that, you know, I've done this work and I continue to do this work. And, you know, I do have, you know, a group of recovered friends amongst me that I can call upon and, you know, be honest with and vulnerable. And, you know, my life has changed. My relationship with my higher power has completely, you know, grown and changed. My relationships with my family members, you know, I have multiple miracles that have happened in my life. And so this is, you know, shouting great tidings of joy for us that, you know, I needed to have this hope when I got here. I was desperate and out of ideas. And, you know, food had me by the throat, and I was willing and to the actions that you guys recommended, that my sponsors recommended, and I've got these promises happening in my life. And so that's what I get to share with other people. And then I get to witness sometimes them happening in other people's lives as well. And it's just such a great blessing. So hope, that's my word of the year. I think it was last year's. I'm going to keep it for this year's as well. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Colleen. It's Colleen M. from Maryland. Next up, we have Nick F., followed by Elsie M. And after Elsie, I could take another lineup. Nick, come on in and share with us, please.
Good morning, Kathy.
Please.
Good morning, family.
Good morning, Nick. Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. This is Nick F. in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater. And, man, I kind of just want to read the whole paragraph again, but I know there's no need to do that. But, yeah, this part that says there's scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. And I, too, pulled the word hope out of all of this. Like, hold on. Pain ends. One thing about it, when I was in my relapse, you know, I got a call that my son had cut his wrist, and I was already in relapse because my son is experiencing what he's experiencing. That's not why I was eating. I was eating because I gave up hope, and I forgot how fatal and how progressive and how dangerous and how disgusting I feel when I'm killing myself with food. You know, I'm abstinent today. Thank God for my sponsor and the diligent work of the people on this line. Like, this paragraph is the embodiment of just what happens. I had people on the phone with me when I was in relapse, and I could just feel the love from them, but it could only get so far. I was a slave to McDonald's and Walgreens and Applebee's, and I couldn't. Could not get free to save my life. And it was just pain on top of pain and on top of pain. But today, I'm free. I've been in a Walgreens. I bought a teddy bear. I bought myself a stuffed animal. Like, I'm walking in Walgreens, and like anybody that's struggling on this line, it's as if the aisles were pushed apart, like the Red Sea. Like, I'm not even concerned about anything in that store. I was actually looking for gloves and came out with a teddy bear. But I didn't come out with donuts, and I didn't come out with cakes. Like, I'm trying to explain something that's inexplainable for me. You know, and I had some people on the line, and I had at times the joy of the Lord, of my high power, but I didn't have myself. And today, I have myself. I'm nothing in the disease. I'm nothing without God. And one of my challenges right now is that the more empty I am of the food, the more I feel a connection to my religious upbringings. But I'm so grateful I get to pick that apart and see what works for me. I know something has released me and gave me a new lease on life. I was able to ask my sponsor to pray for me and my son yesterday, and I was just in tears. You know, I'm able to make calls. It's like all of a sudden there's so much living and not enough time. And when I'm in the food, it's like the moments of the day just drag on and on. And now it's like before I know it, the day's over, and I've made calls, and I've gotten on meetings, and I've did writings, and I've got down on my knees. If I can say anything, getting down on my knees, a position of submission, a position of surrender, is one of the one things that, like, helped me understand that I can't do this without God. I can have a job. I can make a lot of money. I can listen to a lot of great music. I can snap my fingers. I can do a lot of things. But if I'm not free of the food, with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nick. That's Nick. That is Nick F. from Tennessee. Next up, we have LCM from Pennsylvania. And then after LC, I can take a new lineup. Come on in and share with us, LC. Elsie, please press star 1 to unmute yourself.
Okay, it took me a minute to get unmuted. I'm sorry. It was.
That's okay. We hear you. Thank you.
Thank you. This is LCM from outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A recovered compulsive overeater. The sentence in this paragraph that I had underlined a long time ago is, "The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty." And that has been true for me. And I first came into that, I never believed that sentence before. I always felt that the pressure and difficulty were paramount to having any joy. If you had my life, you wouldn't be joyful either, was kind of how I looked at things. And then I got a sponsor who has three children with autism. I have two, and also with mental illness, and I have that as well. And she has joy, and she has happiness, and but she still has difficulty. And God gave me somebody that illustrated that sentence, which I so thank him for that. And now I too have joy of living, in spite of the difficulties. And I believe that it's by doing my 10 steps where I can, you know, bring to the surface the frustrations that I might have in a given day with my situation. But by airing it out and asking for God's help and sharing it with another person, I'm able to be relieved of that pressure and not go to the food. And I swear, I have 2 years of abstinence, and I swear that's why. I know that's why. That's why I can have the joy of living in spite of pressure or difficulty. And I just wanted to share that with people because it really matters. That working the steps is key to having that realization and to having that change, for many years, I was in the program and could not get to the joy of living because of the pressure and difficulty, how I saw it. I had not had the spiritual awakening. And now I've had that spiritual awakening, and I can have that joy of living. And that's all I wanted to share. Thanks, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you so much. That was LCM from Pennsylvania. If you came in late, just want to let you know that we are on page 15 in the big book in Bill's story. We're on the second paragraph that starts, "We commence to make many friends." That reading that one paragraph that ends on page 16, we are growing in numbers and power. If you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute yourself, and I'm ready to take another lineup.
Anne Marie M.
Oh.
Thank you, Anne Marie.
Lee O.
Ken W. H.
Jen F.
Jana C.
Betty Jean, Connecticut.
Okay. So far, I have Anne Marie M, Lee O, Ken WH, Jen, and Betty Jean. Was there somebody else that said their name and I did not hear them?
Shanna C.
Shanna, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, let's start with Lee O. Lee, could you tell us where you're calling from, please, and come on in and share with us, followed by Ken WH.
Yes, this is Anne-Marie M.
Anne-Marie, yeah, was first.
Oh, I'm sorry, you are correct. Thank you. Thank you, my team. What would I do without you? Anne-Marie, please go first. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Yes. And Lee.
Certainly. Okay, Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina. Gratefully recovering from compulsive overeating and only through God's mercy. Oh, yeah. You know, how many times have I read this? I think I've said that the last couple of times I've shared that I've read this. The promise that I see here, the promises of these people that Bill has, seen, he witnessed miracles, you know, families coming together, men that weren't part of society that are now part of society. And if that can happen for them, that will happen for me. I have no doubt. And I have been praying, you know, when the evil one, the disease, I call it the evil one, comes to my mind, I can pray to God. And, you know, I been doing that, and that's wonderful that works. I also need the support of my fellowship, my little God squad that I have, that I need to call them and not be self-reliant. I know that calling on God is not self-reliant, but I need to be vulnerable, open, honest with my fellows. And so I'm just so grateful. I just keep learning more and more and trusting God more and more, and that he's taking me down the path that I'm supposed to be going down. And, you know, I'm just grateful for that. So with all of that, I'm going to pass. And thank you again for, you know, being our leader this morning. God bless.
Thank you, Anne-Marie, for your help, too. Thank you for sharing. Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina. Next up, we have Lee O., followed by Ken W.H. Lee, come on in and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Sure. This is Lee O. from Southeast Florida. Can you hear me?
We hear you well. Thank you.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you so much. This is, I think, first or second time I've shared on this meeting, and I've been listening since 2014. I really connected with this. I am right now on step 12. I'll be moving towards sponsoring people, but I've been in the program for 30 years. The only thing that I've done consistently was I haven't left, and I haven't left because of this fellowship, because when I fell and when the disease came in and took over, I always got the support from everybody here. And it is so true that the people that are on this line, whether you live near me or across the pond, when I pick up the phone and I call somebody, it's as if I know them my entire life. Doesn't matter where I am. And that's what this program gives me. As I work the steps, I realize that God speaks through everybody here. And I was always very resentful. My particular sponsorship requires me to make 3 phone calls a day. And I don't want to make 3 phone calls a day, let alone more than that. But now I understand why, because my disease isolates me. And if I don't practice reaching out, I will, because my disease talks to me in my own voice and convinces me and tricks me that it's the right thing to do because XYZ is doing it, or I don't really need to do that. That is my disease coming in, because the food isn't the issue anymore. The food is down and I am not triggering my physical allergy. Now it is the disease that comes in and tricks me. And if I'm not reaching out to other fellows to have God, the great spirit, spirit guides, whatever it is that created all of us, that's guiding us in this direction. If I don't have that shot of clarity, I will believe everything my mind tells me. And it always has led me to back to the food thing to go. It was my mind and my thinking. So this fellowship has really saved me. And I am in a great deal of chaos right now, some negative, a lot positive. And I understand what the big book talks about, the calmness during calamity. I never experienced that before. And with this recovery, I listened and I opened myself to that which created everything. And it is changing me. And I've never had that experience before. It was always in my head in a textbook kind of learning it and, okay, I should be fixed now. And it's not that way. So I am thankful for everybody. Thank you. I am thankful for everybody on the line. Take care.
Thank you so much. That's Lee O from Florida. Next up, we have Ken WH, followed by Jen O. Ken, come on in and share with us, please.
Thank you. This is Ken WH, recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I'm just kind of stuck on the first line. We commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us. I heard somebody once say that a 12-step room is about the only place you can walk into that has a room full of absolute complete strangers, and you can reminisce. I love that, in that, you know, I've been in many, many rooms across the country and even around the world, and I walk in the door and I'm among friends, and I know it. And we can start reminiscing, if you will, about what my life was like and what I'm like today and what happened and all of those things. And there's a sense that there's nothing to fear in the room. It's absolute friendship right away, not with people I would normally mix, like the book says. And that's one of the great gifts, I think, of this program. I'm also aware that this paragraph is, I counted another 10 promises in here, joy of living and set on a new path, going somewhere, solving domestic problems and feuds and bitterness going away, and, you know, people coming out of asylums and resuming a vital place in the world, in the community, regaining standing, all the troubles and miseries are overcome, and that I'm a part of a fellowship that's growing, continues to grow. And sometimes it may not be growing in numbers particularly, but it's definitely growing in maturity, and I know that's the case for me. That's what I've gained over the years here in these recovery programs. I've become more and more mature, and I still have a few more years left on this planet, and I'm still maturing, and that's a good thing, because I can keep coming to meetings and meet all these perfect strangers and reminisce about what's been like, what I'm like today, what happened. Thanks for letting me share a pass.
Thank you so much. That is Ken W. H. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Jen O., followed by Betty Jean. Jen, can you come in and share with us and tell us where you're calling from?
Good morning, everyone. This is Jen F., calling from South Jersey. And thank you so much, everyone, for the beautiful shares. What an awesome paragraph. As I was just thinking about it, I was brought back to page 11, where it says, here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. So at that point,
Bill was seeing a miracle. At this point, he is part of the miracle. He is allowing God to use him to be part of other people's miracles. And I just love that transformation. Well, I was thinking about how every time I dieted over the course of the years, it always had a destiny. The destiny was get to the weight I wanted to be, and then I would be done. And that obviously never worked. But here, there's no destiny. The destiny is to continue carrying the message forward. And as a result of him being willing to do that, to go through the steps, carry the message forward, he can continue to say, I have seen, you know, I have seen hundreds of families. I have seen men come out of asylums. Like, he's seeing miracles firsthand, front line. And I just love that. You know, I'm a newly recovered compulsive overeater. I'm just starting to sponsor. So I'm just getting the opportunity to talk with people. And I want God to use me as part of their miracle. You know, I want my story to be a source of encouragement, strength, and hope for people. There is no destiny in this. The destiny is to just keep trudging forward, to keep doing the work, to keep carrying the message, to keep the hope alive that recovery is possible through a higher power. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Jen F. Jen's from New Jersey. Next up, we have Betty Jean, followed by Shanna C., and then we have time for another share. Betty Jean, can you come in and share with us and let us know the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Betty Jean M. from Snowy, Connecticut. Can you hear me?
We hear you well. Thank you, Betty Jean.
Perfect. Thank you. I was in this program for 4 years without being abstinent. I had a sponsor and went to meetings every day, but I didn't do outreach. I talked to people at meetings, and I said to my sponsor, I'm just not comfortable with making phone calls to people I barely know. People started making phone calls to me, and I started returning those calls. And then I started really doing outreach, really making outreach calls, going to outreach events. That's how I turned the corner and became abstinent, really. I kept coming back, but once I started making the phone calls, I really began to use the tool of the fellowship. And that's really, I believe, what led me to my recovery. And I would encourage anyone who's reluctant. People in this program expect you to call them. And everybody's busy. We're all working from home. We're working all kinds of hours. If people can't talk to you, they'll call you back. So don't worry about that. I'm closer to those of you on this phone call than I am to a lot of my family members, and I love my family, and they love me, but they haven't been down this road, and they don't understand me. They love me. I need to talk to all of you. Your voices drowned out the sound of the sickness that is constantly calling me, and when the food comes for me is when I'm alone. When the food comes for me is when I'm isolating. I need to break out of that isolation and be constantly connecting, one, with my higher power, and two, with everybody in this program. Otherwise, I'm alone, and the food's knocking down the door because it knows. So I have to just constantly stay in touch with people in this program. I never know what's going to happen when I call someone. I call someone for help, and I end up helping them. So, I want to say to everyone, make the phone calls. Don't worry about it. Keep calling. You'll get a hold of someone. This God has made clarity out of the chaos in my life. He's brought clarity. I had a lot of chaos. It's a lot calmer now. When I say to someone, and I rarely say this, they say, what are you doing this weekend? And I say, I'm going to hang out. Nothing much. That's when I'm in trouble. When I hear myself say, I got this, that's when I'm in trouble. I need all of you. I need you every day. The disease isn't going away. It is stalking me. So I need to be connected to all of you. And that's what I hope you'll do too today is reach out. Thanks very much. And I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. Next up, we have Shauna C., and we do have time for one more share after Shauna C. Come on in and share with us, please.
Good morning. This is Shauna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace and mercy and the help of the people who are willing to carry a message of hope to me through this fellowship.
My butt was saved through an outreach call, not homicide. And I'm grateful to God because this person is so connected, works this program because her life does depend on it, and because she has a heart that has been changed and cares. And she made an outreach call to me on a day where I was alone and scared. I wasn't in the food, and I was abstinent and praying, trying to, you know, do what I'm supposed to do. And that outreach call came at a time where I needed it the most, and that outreach call flourished into a wonderful relationship that has literally helped turn me around and help me see that the God of my understanding has been with me and guiding me and helping me and is seeing me. And because of that fact, because of, I guess, my heart being prepared and that one outreach call being made and me being willing, it all, that magical cocktail of surrender happened yet again in my recovery. And because of that, because of someone being willing to make an outreach call to someone who may or may not need it, we just never know how the spirit of our God that created this program for people like us may move through us to save someone else's life. That is not me making stuff up and being flowery. That is my experience. And that is what gives me a joy of living, is the consciousness of the presence of a power, a spirit at work that really cares about these issues that we have with food that seems so minuscule to so many people who have so many seemingly bigger problems than food. Or being gripped by the mirror, being gripped by the scale. Who, like for me, my greatest obsession in life is somehow, someday, I'm going to lose enough weight and then I'll be okay because everybody will think I'm okay and because I'm finally being seen and because I finally matter. I didn't realize that was what was happening, even in my own abstinence, to my own recovery. No idea. But you know what? The God of my understanding did and put me with someone who understood it perfectly. And because of being able to go through and really look at and analyze what my thoughts were and what I was truly believing about myself and this program and how this stuff works, I was able to get a new perspective and a new pair of glasses and see things the way I believe the God of my understanding wants me to see, and that is love. New. Anyway, I don't want to get into an emotional tangent. I'm telling you right now, I am joyful that I don't have to manage my own life anymore, and I get to be placed in the position of me. And that problem is removed, and provided I continue to pass this on and stay close to that power that saved me, and just be willing to pass it on and do and follow the directions in 10, 11, and 12. And I'm telling you, some days, you know, it feels like mechanics and clunkiness.
That's fine, Shannon.
It's like I don't have to ask. Thank you. I don't have to ask. I don't have to make it. It's just, it happens organically. The help comes without me having to force it. And it's a mutual thing. Anyway, grateful to be here. I love you all so much. I don't know where I'd be without you. That's it.
Shannon, could you tell us where you're calling in from?
Yeah, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, East Tennessee, Eastern Time.
Thank you, Shanna. That's Shanna C. calling from Tennessee. We do have time for 1 2-minute share. Is there anyone out there that'd like to take us out on a 2-minute share?
Marge?
Come on in, Marge.
Thank you. Thanks for your service. I'm Marge L. in Connecticut. Sometimes God gives me a nudge, and I think calling in today was one of them because I don't call in every day. This paragraph, I'm not so great at outreach, and hearing all the shares about how valuable it is, and it's just what I needed, and I thank everybody. I've been in around 6 years, and I haven't gotten to the recovered state. I'm really hopeful this time around, I'm still on one, is going to be the time that works. And just, I wouldn't have called in. I just am so thankful that I did, and I got to hear all you guys. Thanks a lot. That's all I got. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you, Marjorie from Connecticut.
Thank you for taking us out. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour immediately following closing of this meeting today. Today's share ID for Wednesday, January 28th, 2026 is 23,164. That's 23164. We will now close with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Christina L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Come on in, Christina.
Okay, I think I'm unmuted. Good morning, everyone. Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.